It's time for church. All right. If you wouldn't mind, you could return to your seats. That'd be awesome. I want to just talk a little bit about some announcements we have. And a few other things. I'm a little off on my list here. Okay, here we go. First of all, I see some guests here, and I just want to say thank you so much for coming to Calvary Gospel Church. We're so glad that you're here worshiping with us. If you haven't already, we have a guest services area right in the foyer of the church, and we'd like for you to stop by there and talk to one of our ushers. We have a small gift for you, and we'd like to get to know you a little bit. We have just a couple points of information. It'll be real quick. Also, if you're visiting online, same thing. You can click that link or go to that link that you see at the bottom of your screen, that bit.ly link. It says /connect to Calvary Gospel or connect to CG and do the same thing. And we just love to get to know you. So thankful that you're here. And we hope that you are blessed while you're here with us. Amen. At this time, we have a Save Our Children's promotional video for our children's department. Amen. All right. Many of our families have children here at Calvary Gospel Church, and we have a very elaborate system of check-in and check-out. And this entire wing, if you haven't been over there, that entire wing of the building is all pretty much dedicated to children. And so we take children very seriously here. The Save Our Children offering, as you can see, that's a national offering trying to raise $4 million across the United States, and all of the churches very similar to this one. And so we just ask you, if you'd like to give to that, to give to our children, this goes to help our camps, this goes to help our children's camps, our children's evangelism, all different types of children's programs, and many other different things connected to children's ministry. You can do that by giving in our offering in just a moment. And just if you want to use our app, you can do that. It's probably the easiest way to do this. Or you can just mark any of this stuff that you would get, any way that you would give, you can just mark it Save Our Children or SOC. And so there are four ways to give at Calvary Gospel Church. You can give online at any time on our website at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can always give in person. There's an offering box on the wall. As you enter into the sanctuary, you'll see a little box. You can put a cash offering or a check in there if you'd like to do that. You can always give by mail. And thank you so much for many of the business owners who send periodic checks to support our cause as a church. You can also give on the mobile giving app. The mobile giving app is, you can find this in your app store by just searching for Church Center. And then you have to navigate and find our church, and then once you find our church, then you can get connected, you can give. But also on Church Center, you can see all the things that we do throughout the week, see our calendar, and get connected to a connection group or one of our ministries. It'd be awesome for you to do that. Amen. I have some announcements. Tomorrow, Wednesday through Wednesday, is our three days of prayer and fasting. And so the 3 days of prayer and fasting, we have been doing a quarterly prayer and fasting. So we're asking everyone to, if you can, participate at the level of your that you can commit. And for the next 3 days, we'll be praying and fasting for God's will to be done with our church, but also for other needs. And some of that will be mentioned shortly. There is next Sunday, April 14th at 11 a.m. That's going to be our Jubilee service. All right. And so this Jubilee service is going to be a mixture of praise, worship, and testimonies. So you'll be hearing from some of the members of Calvary Gospel Church on that day. And so we'll have an awesome time in the Lord on that day. So please show up April 14th, 11 a.m. And then at this time, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. If you would like to stand with me. Sorry. I left out an important part of that, didn't I? Today is a day that the Lord has made, amen? Every day that the Lord has made is full of miracles all around us. Some of them we acknowledge, some of them we ignore. But God is moving this earth around the sun and all the stars and moon alignment and our DNA and plants are starting to come up out of the grass. All these things are happening for a reason. God has made all of this for us, right? But he died for us. And what Scripture says is by his stripes we are healed. And so today we're going to pray for anyone that's in this sanctuary that needs healing in their body. But we're going to pray for other things. If you need salvation or if you need some miracle to happen in your life, you need a family change, something's happening in your life and you need God to intervene today, right now, in this moment, we're going to pray for God to do that. And so if you have one of those needs, you can, if you'd like to, slip your hand up. If you have your hand up right now and have a need, would you, someone around you, just someone, people around them, would you just pray with them right now? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, believing, and would you do me a big favor? Would you pray out loud in an act of faith, letting God hear your voice right now? Lord Jesus, I ask you, God, that you will touch all of these people here with their hands lifted in the air. All those that have needs, oh God, that we know, God, you've done a lot of things for us, oh God. Sometimes we walk through this life and ignore it, Lord. But right now, Lord Jesus, we are placing our attention on the things that only you can touch, only you can change, only you can do, Lord. We ask you to touch every sick person, every body who needs healing, every person who has struggling with disease, every single mind who is struggling with mental illness, whatever's going on, depression. No, it doesn't matter, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, by your stripes we are healed. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to heal your church right now, God, to heal your children, Lord, to touch your people, Lord. We ask you, Lord Jesus, every single situation, family or mental or whatever situations are going on, Lord, right now, we don't know them all, but Lord, you see them all, God. We ask you to touch those situations in the name of Jesus and have your way in all of these people's lives today, God. Help us to receive the word of God today. Help it to change us. Help us to fix us, to create something new in us, to make us more like you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, today. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Would you worship with us as our worship team leads us in a few songs?
Will fade, but I found my hope in you. You are the one I want, you are the one I need. This world can have it all and can take everything. So give me Jesus,
give me Jesus.
Oh yeah,
give me Jesus, the one who breaks.
just passing through. Earthly treasures soon will fade, but I found my hope in you.
You are the one, Jesus.
You are the one I want. You are the one I need. This world can have it all. It can take everything.
So give me Jesus.
Away my shame. There is only one for me. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. The one who broke the chain and took away my shame. There is only one for me.
Treasure, you are my treasure. The only lasting thing is you.
You are forever, you are forever. You are the one that I run to. You are my treasure, you are my treasure.
Others may fail,
never you remain. You are my treasure, you are my treasure. Heaven and earth will pass away. You are forever.
That the lost are found. And as we sing, we believe strongholds and chains are shattering. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. The battle is the Lord's, and we are His army. His power in His name, it scatters the enemy. If He goes before, then we have the victory. Sing the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus. And as we say, we believe, prison walls fall down. As we sing, we believe that the lost broken chains are shattering right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. So can you feel it now? The ground shake below you. In the midnight hour, he comes to our rescue. The liberating God is faithful to break through. So sing the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus. Sing it out. As we sing, we believe the walls fall down. Mention of his name and it shakes earth's foundation. Just the mention of his name and the depths will start quaking. Just the mention of his name and every chain is breaking. There is power in our praise, 'cause there is power in your name. Just the mention of his name and it shakes the earth's foundation. When I mention your name, Lord, just the mention of his name and the depths of hell start quaking. Just the mention of your name,
just the mention of his name,
and every chain is breaking.
There is power in all.
'Cause there is power in your name.
There is power in your name.
Just the mention of your name,
just the mention of his name,
and it shakes the earth's foundation. Just the mention of his name and the depths of hell start.
Just the mention of his name,
just the mention of his name, and every chain is breaking. There is power in our praise, there is power in your name.
There is power in our praise,
is
holy.
Is the name, the wind and wave. So heaven's coming down.
Presence of the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. You could be seated. Before we get into our message this morning, I have a few things I'd just like to. I want to thank our pastoral staff over the last 3 weeks of covering for myself and my wife. We've been battling this influenza virus, and I'm still struggling with it this morning, but I'm not going 4 weekends and not speaking. We're going to get through this. It may sound like a different person speaking to you this morning. My voice is very gravelly, so if you like the old gravelly rock and roll or blues music, you should feel right at home this morning. We have coming up, starting tomorrow, we have 3 days of prayer and fasting. And our ushers have a handout, a prayer and fasting guide. I'd like for them to just take and quickly start passing that out. Over the next 3 days, we're going to be praying for boldness. And we're going to be asking God to take and In the book of Acts, and we're going to get into this in our message, so I don't want to get into too much of it. But this prayer and fasting guide, Sister Linda Brown put this together for us, and thank you so very much. But it's a 4-page, 5-page guide, and it is to assist you and your family as we go into 3 days of prayer and fasting. Now, the type of prayer and fasting, I'm going to leave that up to you as a family unit to determine what fast works best for your family. And I know a lot of you have little ones at home, and it's a little difficult for them to fast, but I'm trusting and praying that as the families, as you sit down and determine what you're going to do, that you will do what works best for you. But I'm asking all of us to participate. The book of Acts, they prayed for boldness. And so you have your prayer and family fasting guides. This will be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. All right? So next, we have some guests here today. It's just an honor to have all of our guests here with us. And thank you for joining us here at Calvary Gospel Church. And also, many of you may have heard already, but Brother John Seidel, Sister Terry Seidel, they have been voted in as the senior pastors of the church in Stoughton. They're going to be, it is official, and they will be taking Brother Rich Thomas's. He will be retiring. They'll be taking his place, and we will be having a special departure service for them, I guess you could call it. And that will be on April 28th, and it'll be 11 a.m. It will be a combined service. It will be VOSIS, AIM, and Calvary. We'll all be together. And they've worked with all three of these congregations over the last 10, 15 years. So we're going to all be here together. And then at the conclusion of the service, we're going to be going into the fellowship hall. And VOSIS is going to prepare for us some authentic street tacos. And we're going to be able to take and just gorge on some tacos and have some cupcakes and be able to say goodbye. Now, they're not going far. They're just going. They're staying. They're living in McFarland. They're just going to Snowden. But they won't be here on a weekly basis. But anyway, it we'll be able to take and wish them well and say goodbye to them as pastors and part. So much, such a part of our family. I'm having a hard time with this. John and I have worked together side by side for 20 years, and it'll be a little bit of a change, but I'm excited for them and where God is taking them, and they're going to do a phenomenal job there in Stoughton. We've been on a series on the power of boldness. I just got one lesson down on this. It's 4 weeks ago today is when I covered our introduction to boldness, the power of boldness. Now, we have to understand that the only language that the devil seems to understand is the language of boldness and a language of violence. And as we pursue through the pages of the book of Acts, we will find that you and I also can discover a level of boldness that is unmatchable to the enemy's best that he can throw at us. And it plays an important role in the success of the early church, and it plays an important role in our success today. And we look at Peter and John, who were noted for their boldness. And after the miracle of the man who was crippled from his mother's womb at the gate beautiful, we read in Acts chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, and when they saw the boldness. I love this, the way this is put together. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. There's nothing more at times perhaps eye-catching or even obnoxious, if I could say that, to be able to take and see ignorant and unlearned people speaking with boldness. Because it usually means they have no idea what they're talking about, but they're talking about it loud. Isn't that what you gather? But this is a much different scenario here. And they perceive that these guys, they're not scholarly like we are. And they marveled and they took knowledge of them. They started to pay attention to them. And they had been with Jesus. Now they understood and they knew, they followed the news and the gossip and all that of their time. News traveled fast. They knew that Jesus had ascended into the heavens. They knew that the day of Pentecost had come and had gone in chapters 1 and chapters 2 of the book of Acts. And here we are in chapter 4, but it says, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Listen, church, this morning, we have been with Jesus. We are with Jesus. How many of you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? How many of you have felt the power of the Holy Ghost in your life? How many of you have felt the power of God in a church service as our worship service? They had been with Jesus, and beholding the man which was healed standing against them, they could say nothing against it. You see, we have to understand that boldness triggers the supernatural. boldness triggers the supernatural and shuts the mouth of our enemy. In our last message, we covered how do we release this force, this principle, into our daily lives. And we gave a definition. We defined what it was. And we defined boldness as a fearless attitude. An attitude that of no fear. They have those stickers out there that a lot of us have collected over the year. No fear, no fear. I have no fear. I look at some of these young people today and some of the crazy stunts that they do. Fearless, jumping off the sides of buildings with parachutes and hang gliders and all just, it's just crazy what people are doing. Boldness is a fearless attitude. Boldness is fearless in your speech. You're not afraid to speak the truth. You're not afraid of the consequences of speaking the truth. And boldness is a fearless action. How do we unleash this boldness in our lives? Well, first of all, we have to know who we are. Who we are. The righteous is bold as a lion. As bold as a lion. I love watching those lion videos and on YouTube. They got all kinds of really cool ones. And I was watching one just this past week on a group of hyenas that had surrounded a female lioness. And she was fighting for her life. And she was being as bold could be. But she was one lion against about 30 hyenas. And sometimes life feels that way, where that we're just one lion and we're against 30 enemy hyenas that are coming at us from all different directions, constantly napping and biting and trying to take and force us to submit. And then all of a sudden, here comes the rest of the pride. Here comes the rest of the church. Here comes my brothers and sisters. And they hear that bold roar of the lion. Even though they're surrounded, they're being attacked, they're roaring with a boldness, a ferocity, something just vicious sound. And here come the rest. Boldness. Therefore, we must understand our positions as the righteous of God in Christ. We must understand our positional truth in Christ. We must understand who we are in Christ. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus, are we not? We need to doubt our doubts. I've said this a few times. We need to doubt our doubts and believe our beliefs. Most people do the opposite. They doubt their beliefs and believe their doubts. We must believe what God's tells us in his word. Now my sword is getting a little battered. Somebody had mentioned that maybe it's time for me to get a new Bible, but I'm kind of very sentimental, and I've had very few Bibles over my lifetime, and I keep every last one of them all the way back to my first Sunday school Bible I got given to me by Sister I can't even remember her name now. If I thought about it enough, I could. In La Crosse, for memorizing for every Sunday, memorizing a scripture verse, and we had to go like for months to do this. But our word. We have to know who we are in this. We have to know what this is. We have to understand the authority that's in this. And this is our playbook. We have to know who we are in God. We have to believe that God's word, what God tells us in his word. We have to know that God is with us. How many of you believe God is with you today? You may be here sick in body, but God is still with you. God is still with us. I tell you, man, this last 3 weeks, it has been terrible. It's just been terrible. I've gone through emotional ups and downs. I've gone through mental, spiritual, physical. It's just like, this is like nasty. And I can't get rid of it. And struggle, and you lay in bed for hours, and you're frustrated. We have to know who we are in God. God is still God. Whether you feel good or not, God is still God. Whether you're sick, whether you're broke, whether you, whatever, God is still God. So we're going to move deeper into this principle this morning, and I'm not going to be real long. There are a number of very critical keys when it comes to spiritual boldness. And there are a number of critical principles that we must follow if we are going to be spiritually bold. Now, I've made this distinction before. Spiritually bold is not spiritually belligerent. There's a vast difference between boldness and belligerence. Sometimes I see some of us just going like this in people's faces, and I'm looking at that, and I'm like, they're thinking they're being bold, but they're probably speaking belligerently. Just a thought. How successful are we at times doing this? How many of you like to have your boss come up to you and do this to you? No, I don't. Sometimes I just like to. I imagine myself just grabbing their hand and biting their finger. You wonder what some people would do sometimes if they come up and they go like this and you just grab their hand and bit their finger. Oh, yes. So let's start off today. Listen, if we want boldness, we have to have what I call our number one principle of boldness is bulldog tenacity. I'm going to explain this in a very, very simple, funny illustration today. When we moved to Madison, we had a little dog, and some of you remember this little dog. Her name was Trixie. Now, she was given to us by a family in La Crosse. I believe it was the Lumpert family that found her and gave her because my brother Steve, my youngest brother, was scared to death of dogs. Scared, he would go into ultra panic mode if he saw a dog. So my parents, in their wisdom, thought, what if we got a small dog and Steve could attach to that small dog and he wouldn't feel the fear, he wouldn't feel. So they brought Trixie into our home. Now Trixie, she was not a Labrador. She wasn't a big bulldog. She was a little Chihuahua Pekingese mixture. She had the longer hair of a Pekingese. She had a little bit of a Pekingese nose, but not quite as skinny as a Chihuahua. But she was just a little bitty thing, maybe 3 pounds at the most. Now understand something about Trixie. Trixie never looked at herself as a Pekingese Chihuahua mix. She thought in her little infinite mind that she was somewhere between a bulldog, a pit dog, and a Doberman, all morphed into one creature. And truth be told, yes, she was a cross between a Chihuahua and a Pekingese, but you could say that Trixie had visions of grandeur, of something much larger and something much more ferocious than what really was there. Now, one thing you must understand about Trixie was that even though she was small, and she was not a very forceful dog. She wouldn't growl at you. She barked very little. She had an undertow of tenacity. And unless you were around her a lot and you understood who she was and you watched her in various situations, you would never, ever pick up on that. There are many of us here today that are Trixies. People look at us and they don't see a ferocious Doberman bulldog pit bull mixture of a dog. They see this little harmless Pekingese and Chihuahua. But you see, understand something about what can happen in the mind of a human being and what can happen in the mind of a little tiny 3-pound dog should the proper opportunity arise. I remember we had a neighbor. He lived 2 houses down from us, and his name was Mr. Eckel. And at the time, he owned Eckel Disposal, which they had garbage trucks, and he had dumpsters. But he had guarding his little lot there of his equipment. It was fenced off. He had a German Shepherd named Fritz. Now, I want to tell you something about Fritz. Fritz was feared by all of the kids that lived in the Bridal Downs area. Everyone in the neighborhood was scared to death of Fritz. We would play softball in the backyard of the Schneider's house, which was next door to the Eccles lot, and we lost more softballs over the fence because we were scared to death to go and try to get them back because of Fritz. Fritz, when we were out playing, at times we had bows and arrows, and I don't know what our parents ever thought, thinking it was a good idea to let a whole neighborhood of boys have bows and arrows. But we would play chicken with our bows and arrows. And what that composed of is we would get 10 or 12 of us in a circle, and we would shoot our arrows straight up into the air. And the last one to move was the winner. When those arrows start coming down, I don't know what we were thinking. Kids would shatter, and there was always one dumb one that would stay there, and that arrow would come down within inches. But we lost a lot of arrows into Fritz's backyard. Never. We were scared. I don't know if any of you remember the movie The Sandlot, and that dog in the backyard and losing, that was Fritz. And we knew that the other side of that fence, if we ventured over that fence, that we could not get our ball or our arrow faster than what Fritz could get to us. But then one day, most ironically, all of that changed. It all changed. My dad was standing at the back of our house at our patio door. And occasionally Fritz would get out and the whole neighborhood would disappear because Fritz was on the loose. And Fritz happened to wander up, Sister Moran, to our back patio door. And there he faced off with little Pekingese Chihuahua, Trixie. And I have never seen Trixie get so bulldog tenacity as that day. And as my dad sat there and looked at Fritz, and he was snarling and slobbering and spitting slobber all over the door, and here this little Pekingese Chihuahua is just snarling back and jumping at the door, my dad just maybe did a silly thing. But he thought, I wonder what would happen if I opened up this door. And he did. And as far as we could see, Fritz was on a dead run with a little Pekingese Chihuahua chasing him clean out of the neighborhood. I don't know where they went. I don't know what happened when she got to the end of wherever she thought, but somewhere in that chase, Fritz began to realize in his German Shepherd mind that I have got something on my tail that has a bulldog tenacity, and it is not going to let me go. And we never had another problem with Fritz. He became the most nice dog. Mr. Eckel introduced us to Fritz. We were able to claim our balls and our arrows. Actually, Mr. Eckel had claimed them for us and had baskets of them. But you see, all of that changed. Trixie had a bulldog tenacity. She had something in her mind that says, I don't care how small I am, and I don't care how big the enemy is. I am not going to back down. Boldness births tenacity. So if you want to have boldness, you have to have a bulldog tenacity. Now, what does the word have to say about tenacity? Hebrews 10:36 in the NIV says, you need to persevere. Persevere. That's tenacity. Persevering. That means you don't quit. That means you don't give up. That means no matter what the enemy throws at you, you push on. It means that when you're sick, you're going to get through this. It doesn't, you're going to have to continue to move forward. We have to have bulldog tenacity. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, this is important because with every principle in the Word of God comes a promise, comes a blessing behind that principle, Brother Repka. And we can read this right now. For if, I'm going to put this in Trixie's terminology. For if you have need of bulldog tenacity, if you are a little Trixie like me and you are facing a big Fritz, you need endurance. And you have to understand that after you have done the will of God, after you have completed what God has called you to do, you will receive the promise. You will receive your reward. We look at Hebrews in the King James. It says, for ye have need of patience. Oh, patience. How many of you struggle with patience? Just be honest. Don't be lying to me here this morning. Don't lie in church. Don't lie. The Holy Ghost doesn't look well, frowns on. Listen, we all struggle with patience, don't we? Getting in a line that somebody's got $400 of groceries and they got $400 of coupons. That'll test your patience. For that we need patience, that after we have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for patient means steadfastness, consistency, endurance. In the New Testament, the characteristics of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials or suffering, consistency. Endurance, steadfastness. When I think of all of those words, I can't help but think about Job. James says in 5:11, James 5:11, he says, as you know, you count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. We think we have trials. Job's trial lasted. It was a one-year-long trial. But boy, did his life change in that 1 year. Some of us are in long trials. Some of you are in a trial that maybe has lasted more than a year. I just want to take and I want to encourage you today. You've heard about Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So how does a person develop bulldog tenacity? I think the answer is found in Galatians 6:9. Let us not lose heart. Let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time, at the appointed season, we will reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. We have to understand that bulldog tenacity leads to success. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we must have that same kind of bulldog tenacity that perseveres and just keeps coming back. Years ago, they made this blow-up boxing dummy, and you would punch it, and it was weighted in the bottom, and you would punch it, and it would spring right back up. And you would punch it and it'd spring right back up. Didn't matter how many times you punched that thing, it was going to spring right back up. That's the way we need to be. That's the way we need to be. James writes in his short but potent New Testament epistle, he says, consider it pure joy. Sometimes I read some of this and I'm thinking to myself, this man had something wrong in his thinking. But this is what he's telling us. This is godly thinking. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish his work so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It is those who persevere that come to maturity and lack nothing. Years ago, my dad and I, we went fishing. A bunch of guys go to Canada every year, or had gone to Canada every year, and we'd go fishing. And I had a little fishing boat that I bought. And my dad, when we were kids, he'd take John, Steve, and I fishing. And we were constantly caught up in a tree branch, in a rock, or something. So my dad would have this tenacity that he would wade in, and he was patient, and he would get us unsnagged. And here we are in Canada, and we'd been up there like 3 days, and I had got my dad. It's just like every time he threw his lure, he got caught in something. And we were laughing because he threw his lure, and he's like, son, I don't even know where I'm caught at. And he's pulling and pulling, and I'm looking along the bank, and I don't see anything. And I said, keep pulling. So I get closer and closer, and I'm following his line up, and he's like 25 foot up in a tree. And that tree branch is wiggling, and I'm like, how in the world did you get up there? He said, son, just remember. He said, fishing is when you boys were kids, how many times I got your lures unstuck? I said, yeah, Dad, but that was like over 10, 12 years. This has just been 4 days. Now, we can laugh about this, but the truth is sometimes we can get frustrated with our outcomes in certain areas. And sometimes we have to have a chat with the enemy. And recently I've had one of those chats. Our music team can come. I talk a lot to the Lord. And I want to have an open line of communication. I don't really want to have much communication with the devil. I don't really care to talk to the devil. I don't like him. He gets on my nerves. He agitates me. He frustrates me. But I had a chat with the devil. I don't know if he was listening. I don't Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. Maybe I'm not even worthy of his conversation, but our chat went something like this. I let him know on no uncertain terms that he is not God. Pure and simple. He's not even God's counterpart. A lot of times we like to put him as God and Lucifer. But his counterparts was Michael and Gabriel. God was never your counterpart. You never were equal. You weren't even close. God created you just like he created me. And you blew it. And your chance is done. I may blow it, but if I'm repentant, I can keep moving forward. And I let him know that you're not equal to God. You have a limited time, and you have a limited space, and you are stuck where you are. I have this philosophy. It may not be theologically correct. It helps me in my mind. That the devil, when he was cast out of heaven and he was thrown to the earth, he wasn't cast out by God. He was cast out by Gabriel and Michael and their angels. Lucifer and all of his angels, all of his followers, God didn't cast them out. God let his counterparts, God let what an insult. I believe this is just me, okay? Like I said, this isn't something you're going to go and say Pastor Roy doctrine. I believe that when this is all over and the devil is cast into hell, to my knowledge now, I don't think angels feel pain. I don't know that there's any scripture that would say they do or don't. I don't know how much emotion angels have. I don't know if angels weep. I don't know. I don't know enough about that. And I'm not trying to say that I do, but I do believe that when this is all over and Satan is cast into the lake of fire, I believe, Sister Moret, that every bit of pain that he is afflicted upon humanity, he is going to begin to feel. And all of this, all of the hurts, all of the lies, all of the deceptions, he is going, I believe that God is going to take away his angelic form, and he's going to become as we are today, and he's going to be punished forever and forever and forever, feeling our pain, feeling our hurts. God, understand something. The enemy is never leaving this planet. Did you get that? He's never leaving this planet. But we are. And the ironic part about it is we're going to where he rejected. So I said, every time you hit us, we're going to hit back. We're going to hit back by maybe just planting another church. We're going to hit back by winning another soul. We're going to hit back by preaching another life-changing sermon. We're going to hit back by developing another church plant team. And if I can't do it here, then you know what? If we can't do it here, we'll do it somewhere else. Because we're going to have boldness. We're going to boldly go where we've never gone before. We're going to go into 3 days of prayer and fasting, and God is going to change our mindsets. We're going to come out of there like Trixie. We may be small. We may not be real large. We may not have the ferociousness of a big Doberman. But we've got tenacity of a Pekingese and a Chihuahua. Let's stand. So to sum this up, church, boldness. Boldness is simply a bulldog tenacity of never letting go. God's called us to a mission. God has called us for mission. Our vision is clear. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Our mission is how we do it. Our missions are our individual callings. We're going to complete what we have started. And church, our prayer today should be, God, give us the type of bulldog tenacity that will persevere in doing good and persevere till the end. You know, we can start strong sometimes and we get worn out and tired and life hits us. We have to finish this thing strong. If we promise, Lord, you promised us if we never give up, if we persevere, we will reap a harvest. So we won't quit. We won't back down. Oh, we're going to get knocked down. The enemy's going to love that. Sister Victoria, you've been knocked down, but you get back up. He hates that. He hates it when he knocks us down and he goes into premature celebration and we get back up. We're not counted out yet. We haven't hit 10 yet. With our faith secured in Jesus Christ, we are guaranteed victory. Did you get that? And today, we claim that victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you with me, church? Our worship team is going to lead us into worship, and I want to open up this altar area. And before we leave today, I have one more thing I want to share with you in closing, as we close out this service, but I want to open up this altar. Maybe perhaps today you've just been struggling. Life is a struggle. The last 4 weeks, I know it's not. It may be small, but it's been tough. I know a lot of your Peter Sand and his whole family sick today. We have a lot of folks sick. It doesn't end here, though. We have victory. We serve a victorious God. Let's come down and let's say, God, give me that tenacity. Give me that bulldog tenacity. And continue pushing forward and staying in this fight. God bless you.
It's the one I run to, and I'm safe. There is just one name. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. I know a name that's the mention of me. There is just one name, Jesus.
is given to your name. When we call you, things begin to change. Every fear is silenced when you speak. Every enemy will have to flee. And every chain is broken at your name. Yours alone, at the name of Jesus. Oh, it's the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, I know. They have no hold on me.
praise the Lord again, church. Bulldog tenacity. I just want to share something with you that this is actually, I thought it was hilarious. And Brother Norman Puckett made a post. I believe it's on Facebook. My brother sent it to me. I think they're gone already, but it says, so brother or sister, the next time the devil whispers in your ear that you're not strong enough to withstand his storm. You ever have the enemy do that? Just whisper back this little reminder. At least I didn't lose my golden fiddle to some hillbilly in Georgia. Oh, we are the victors. We are the victors. We have to have that bulldog tenacity. We have to persevere. We have to push forward. We have to never give up, never quit. And we will reap a harvest. We will reap a harvest. You will reap a harvest. God bless you. Have a very blessed day today, and we will see you back here on Wednesday. And our worship team, you can continue to sing for a few more minutes if you'd like. Thank you.